And I'm going to practice videos better designed to come in. So today, 14 December, is Aferia, during the season of Advent. And since yesterday, the 13th, was a Sunday, we were not able to celebrate the feast of St. Lucy. She's an early Roman martyr, virgin, a martyr in the year 304, and is mentioned in the canon of the Mass. So a great saint indeed. So today I'll speak about her, about St. Lucy, but also about two other saints from yesterday as well, some lesser-known saints, St. Odilia of Alsace, and then Blessed Antonio Grassi. So this saint, Antonio, let's look at his life, Blessed Antonio. He was born in the year 1592, and he was the oldest child in a very devout family. His father died when he was young, but before doing so, he passed on to his children a devotion to Our Lady of Loreto. And Antonio, as a young man, attended Mass every day as a boy. He joined the Oratorian Fathers when he was 17, and in short order became a priest. So then later on, when he was age 29, and he was praying in the Holy House of Loreto, he was struck by lightning. Rather unusual. Some people asking me, does God give me a sign from heaven? That's a pretty good one. So who knows why this happened? He wasn't expected to survive, but he recovered completely. And so he did take this as a sign from God, and he dedicated his life and his priesthood entirely to God's service from that point forward. Now, this may seem a little bit redundant. I mean, isn't a priest already dedicated to God? But very often we find this in the lives of the saints. We find them undergoing a kind of a second conversion, whereas they are living, you know, a good and ordered life, you know, but they're still very much, you know, they kind of have a foot in both sides. They're concerned with the things of heaven and the things of God, but also they're still very much in the world and have worldly concerns. You know, that's the normal course of, in fact, the priestly and very often even the religious life. But a second conversion is where we would say a person of just normal, I don't know, maybe normal everyday sanctity begins to live a life of extraordinary sanctity. And so that was Blessed Antonio. He donated his scorched clothes to the church of the Holy House where he'd been struck by lightning. And every year afterwards, he made a yearly pilgrimage to the House of Loreto. And from then on, he devoted himself entirely to his priesthood, especially in hearing confessions. And it was said actually he had the gift of reading consciences. He was very insistent with his penitence, but always supportive and kind. He was never severe. And instead of going to the social engagements to which his position entitled him, he spent his evenings visiting the sick and the dying. And the position was actually he was elected superior of the oratory in the town of Fermo, Italy, and he was reelected every 3 years for the next 36 years. So he's in this high position, but he's living his life completely for God, as I mentioned, hearing confessions, preaching, visiting the sick and the dying. But when old age, that can often, you know, God doesn't stop asking sacrifices from his saints. And so in his old age, Father Antonio, and he died when he was almost 80. He lost his teeth towards the end and could no longer preach. So he had to give up that which he was very good at and which he enjoyed very much. His hearing began to fail, and so he could no longer hear confessions. He had to give that up as well. And then eventually he fell, and the injury confined him to his room, and though he was unable to visit the sick or the elderly, again, something he enjoyed very much. So God slowly took these things away, these active works from Blessed Antonio, as kind of that final penance of a life lived in good works given to God. So he died in the year 1671, as I mentioned, nearly 80 years old. And what a great life, right? What a great example after that second conversion. So we can pray to Saint Antonio or Blessed Antonio, not to ignore signs from heaven of that nature. And now Saint Odilia of Alsace, she's got a rather interesting story in that she was born to a noble family at the end of the 600s, so maybe 650, 670, something like that. But she was born blind, and because of this disability and the fact that she was only a girl. The family decided that they were going to put her out. Now, rather than killing her, as many families did at the time, noble families, right? There were still, this is the 600s in France. So not, you know, just converted with Clovis. Not too many, you know, just not even 200 years ago. So still very pagan. So her noble family gave her to a peasant family, and they raised her, but she was taken to a convent when she was 12 years old and finally baptized. Now, something amazing happened here. When she was anointed with the holy oils during her baptism, she regained her sight miraculously. So now she was this beautiful, you know, young girl with all, you know, fully, you know, no disabilities. And so now her family wants her back. So her brother actually heard of this miraculous healing, and then he wanted her so that he could use her in a politically convenient arranged marriage. However, when her father heard of this, that her brother had arranged this marriage for her, he was furious because he wanted to arrange a marriage for her. And so he and her brother started quarreling. Her father and her brother started quarreling. And it's, in some accounts, it says that her father killed his own son, striking him so severely that he died. Whether it was whether he actually died or whether it was just a grievous illness, Saint Odilia prayed for her brother, and he did recover. But she herself had to flee from her father, who wanted to apprehend her and you know, use her in some, you know, as I mentioned, some politically expedient fashion. However, he eventually relented, and Saint Odilia joined the convent where she had been baptized, and eventually she became its abbess. And she lived a holy and a good life, finally dying on 13 December in the year 720. But interestingly, she didn't die all the way the first time. She returned briefly to life to tell her sisters about the beauty of heaven. She received Holy Communion one final time, and then she died and passed on. So a great example from St. Odilia of, you know, not discounting people with disabilities, whether it's blindness or whatever else it may be, especially these days, it's absolutely terrible. People talk about, oh, how much they care and everything, and then doctors, you know, in the medical profession, they're killing people with Down syndrome in the womb. They are inducing abortions. They're telling people to terminate the pregnancy and so on. No respect, absolutely no respect for life and what people may accomplish, despite disabilities. So just again showing the emptiness of the human ingenuity, we could say. We only see part of it, but God sees the whole. Everything, right, all the way to the end. And so our saint for the saint of the universal calendar for 13 December is Saint Lucy from Syracuse, Sicily. As mentioned, she is was martyred in the year 304, virgin, and is mentioned in the canon of the Mass. And her father died when she was young, and her mother had a marriage arranged for her, but Lucy delayed. She had vowed her virginity to God. And wanted very much to, you know, to live that life of a consecrated virgin, and so she delayed for a number of years a marriage, until finally her mother was becoming insistent, and she'd set aside a large dowry, and in fact had set up an engagement, and so Lucy knew that she had to act, she had to do something, and so she and her mother are making a pilgrimage to the tomb of Saint Agnes, another virgin martyr, and that was in a city nearby. And so St. Lucy prays very much to St. Agnes for her intervention for an illness for her mother. Her mother had been hemorrhaging for a number of years. And so St. Lucy prayed that this would be a sign for her mother, that her hemorrhage would be cured. And so they travel to the tomb of St. Agnes. Sure enough, her mother is cured. And Lucy tells her of her prayer and also of her vow of virginity. Her mother believed her and relented of trying to arrange a marriage for her. And so when they returned to their city of Syracuse, she began to give away her dowry, her wealth, the jewels, and so on. Well, this didn't sit too well with the family of the young man to whom Lucy was supposed to be engaged or to be married. And so the family denounced her to the prefect of the city and dragged her before the court. And this is during the year, this is the year 303, 304. And so this is the Diocletian persecution. And so the prefect was unable to move her to commit idolatry, either by entreaties or threats, and she's remained constant and firm. And so seeing that he could not prevail, he threatened her and said, words will cease when we come to blows. And this is from reading her the account here from the breviary this morning. And to whom the virgin answered, God's servants will never want for words. For the Lord Christ has said, when ye shall stand before kings and governors, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given to you in that same hour what you shall speak, for it is not ye, but the Holy Ghost who speaks in you. And that's Matthew chapter 10, verses 18 and 20, also Mark 13, verses 9 to 11. So the governor responds, saying to her, oh, is it the Holy Ghost who speaks in thee? And she answers, yes, they that live in chastity and piety are temples of the Holy Ghost. The prefect then says, then I will send thee to be prostituted in a brothel and get the Holy Ghost out of thee. And so Lucy very boldly and very courageously, I would say with a great faith, makes her reply, you cannot prostitute my will. If you cause this poor body to be violated, the crown of my soul's purity will be brighter through suffering. Very courageous indeed. So the prefect bids her to be taken to the brothel, but they could not move her. The guards came. She was completely immovable, this little girl, and so a whole team of guards can't move her. They even bring a yoke of oxen and tie her to it and try to move her with that, and that doesn't work either. I don't know why that didn't convert or convince them, but it just infuriated him the more, you know, supposing it to be some kind of sorcery, right, the likes of which they'd never seen before. So they cover her in pitch, resin, and oil, and attempt to set her on fire, but amazingly, the fire will not light. So this just enrages him even more, and in mockery of her name, Lucy, which is from the word light, he plucks out her eyes, and she is blinded. And so after having endured all of these tortures, a sword at length is thrust through her neck, and when she received this mortal wound, her last words were speaking of the peace that the church would enjoy after the deaths of the emperors Diocletian and Maximian, the two persecuting the church at that time. So she dies, returning her soul to God, preserving her virginity, and having made a prophecy as well. So this occurred on the 13th day of December, and her body was buried there in Syracuse, and afterwards taken to Constantinople. And because of her popularity over the ages, many parts of her remains are in various different cities there in Italy, Europe, and so on. So great examples from the saints, as always. And the lessons, the human lessons we get about not judging people, right? Not judging the crippled, Saint Odilia, receiving the signs from God, those miraculous things, being struck by lightning, right? Like Saint Blessed Antonio. Or and Saint like Saint Lucy, whose name was very appropriate for her internal vision, the light she had on the inside, seeing all things as Christ sees them, not valuing the things of this world, but valuing the things of the next. Despite losing her physical sight, her spiritual sight was completely undimmed. She considered her tortures, her sufferings, her torments as nothing compared to the value of her soul. And indeed, that is the wisdom to which we all strive, to be able to see things in their proper perspectives. So let's keep that in mind. Keep up our Advent preparations, preparing our hearts for Christ by casting out, all right, anything of the world, selfishness, greed, fear, whatever it may be, making room for Christ by casting out our other loves. So St. Lucy and all holy saints, pray for us. God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.